Blog Talk Radio.
PLM, baby.
These various rappers are so hilarious. We'll put the mic down, but you ain't qualified to carry this. Your tracks are garbage, your bars are miscellaneous. So throwing your joint at my car was spontaneous. Oh shit, I got you feeling nervous on purpose. I love bringing that shit right at you, door to door service. Instantaneous, you would still get your shit done. Only spontaneous.
All aboard the Spontaneous Express. Nevertheless, always the more. From the pool table to the kitchen floor. Next stop, G5. Luda!
Yo, when you in a room full of people, you won't feel so alone. Cause everybody's head won't be buried in their phones. Record stores will reopen, a stream dub it. When you buy your album, you can actually touch it. Go to the movie theater, enjoy the best flick. Instead of depreciation on Netflix. Nah, I ain't stuck in the past. Put on your seatbelt, imagine if the internet crashed. You would have to go back to being yourself instead of trying to be somebody else. Instead of just talking, rappers will put their thoughts into bars. No more GoFundMe, go find a job. Some people will no longer be celebrities. No more Facebook beef, less enemies. Pop Smoke will probably still be with us because they wouldn't have seen his location on social media. Even if it's just for a day, how would the world be if they took the internet away?
I extended my hand to shake his hand. He just stared at me. I, you know, greeted Congressman Clyde. I was very cordial. I extended my hand to shake his hand. He just stared at me. I asked him if he was going to shake my hand, and he told me that he didn't know who I was. So I introduced myself. I said that I was Officer Michael Fanone, that I was a D.C. Metropolitan Police officer who fought on January 6th to defend the Capitol, and as a result, I suffered a traumatic brain injury as well as a heart attack after having been tased numerous times at the base of my skull, as well as being severely beaten. At that point, the congressman turned away from me, pulled out his cell phone. It looked like he was attempting to pull up like an audio recording app on his phone, and again, like never acknowledged me. At any point, as soon as the elevator doors opened, he ran as quickly as he could, like a coward.
I can tell you, the House floor was never breached, and it was not an insurrection. This is the truth. There was an undisciplined mob. There were some rioters and some who committed acts of vandalism. But let me be clear. There was no insurrection, and to call it an insurrection, in my opinion, is a bold-faced lie. Watching the TV footage of those who entered the Capitol and walked through Statuary Hall showed people in an orderly fashion staying between the stanchions and ropes taking videos and pictures. You know, if you didn't know the TV footage was a video from January the 6th, you would actually think it was a normal tourist visit.
I experienced the most brutal, savage, hand-to-hand combat of my entire life, let alone my policing career, which spans almost two decades.
That's what happens when you put somebody that has lied to his constituents, that's frankly afraid of telling his constituents the truth, in front of a hero.
about sunrise? What about rain? What about all the things that you said we were to gain? What about killing fears? Is there a time? What about all the things that you said was yours and mine? Did you ever stop to notice all the blood we shed before? Did you ever stop to notice this crying earth is weeping too?
recollect before my hood days. I sit and reminisce, thinking of bliss of the good days. I start to stare at the younger, my heart goes to them. They tested with stress that they under. We never really went through that, cause it was 4 BC, you and me before crack. And nowadays things same, everyone's the same to the youth, cause the truth looks strange. And for me it's reversed, we left them a world that's cursed, and it hurts. Cause any day don't push the button, it all could mean like my Malcolm X and Bobby Hutton died for nothing. Don't it make it get teary, the world looks dreary. When you have your eyes seeing clearly, there's no need for you to fear me. If you take the time to hear me, maybe you can learn to cheer me. It ain't about black or white, cause we're human. I hope to see the light before the room. I'm in a gospel.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're far too kind.
Hit it with a little ghetto gospel.
Yeah.
Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roar. Yeah. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise.
Why is y'all, motherfucker?
Tell me, do you see that old lady? Ain't it sad? Living out of bed, doesn't laugh, but a little thing she has. And over there, there's a lady, black, kinda crazy. Yes, giving birth to a baby. I'm triple as a baby. From out of the frying pan, we jumping to another form of slavery. Even now, I keep discouraged. One day, if they take it all back, well, I still keep them coming. I refuse to be a role model. I say go, take it close, become my own model. I make mistakes when I'm from everyone, and when it's said and done, I bet your brother be a better one. If I set you up stress, never forget. And God is a minister, forget. I put his hand on my brain, so that white rock like a God, and the Lord do what you say. But am I less holy, cause I see the book of Christ, and disappear with my homies. Before we find world peace, we gotta find people in the war and the streets, my ghetto gospel.
can't explain why I shine and no one else shines. I think everybody shines in different things. And a lot of things I can't do. I can't play basketball like every other black person in America. But I can act. I know how to go to that true spot in myself because I'm there every day. I can be me. I can be whoever because I'm true to me. I go to neutral easily. A lot of people, black, white, Mexican, young or old, fat or skinny, have a problem being true to themselves. They have a problem looking in the mirror and looking directly into their own souls. The reason I sell 6 million records, the reason I can go to jail and come out without a scratch, the reason I can walk around, the reason I am who I am today is because I can look directly into my face and find my soul. It's there. It's not sold. I didn't sell it. It's still within me. I still feel it. My heart is still connected to my body. So I could, any character I'm going to bring, that intensity, that truth, that honesty to it because I have to repay for that blessing. From black Jesus, from God, have to pay for that by shining. If he give you the voltage and you waste it, that's the curse. He gave me the voltage, I'm a shine. It's not mine. It's from God. It's God. Not that it's so special that nobody got it, but all of our gifts and blessings and our strengths and our weaknesses come from God. Come from black Jesus or whoever comes from within you. You know what I mean? So not really tricky. Everybody can do it if they just can go to that spot. I guess all the things that happened to me in my life allow me to go there easily. I did a song called Fortunate Fan. And it's like the hook goes, something we all adore. It's the one thing worth dying for. Nothing but pain stuck in this game. Searching for fortune and fame. Something we all adore. The one thing we dying for, nothing but pain, stuck in this game, searching for fortune and fame. That's what I hear. It's so basic that we all want to be famous and noticed and watched, and we all want money and riches, and we all want the finest out of life, from the most heartless gangbanger to the most virtuous police officer.
And with another fantastic mix by DJ Wahee, we are off and running. Good evening, everyone, from coast to coast and around the world. Amar Evans is proud to be back with you again as Spontaneous Radio Online proudly brings you this PLM Roundtable, the now and the future. And I would have to say, starting off the show, I know that I could speak for the entire panel tonight, and that we are definitely sending our condolences to everyone that has been affected in the Pando collapse and Surfside Florida. We are sending a special thanks to first responders who are working around the clock and who are doing their best trying to make the situation into hopefully some good stories coming out of that. And tonight, like I said, we are here again with you to discuss the latest things that are going on. It's been a while since we've been with you. Our PLM family is here. We are missing two people tonight, Andre DeRange, who I'm sure is listening, and as well as Ms. Goley, who we hope gets well soon. We are thinking of them, and we miss them, and we cannot wait until they're back for another PLM roundtable. And as always, in starting this off, I am joined by my fellow PLM brother, DJ FX. Sir, how are you? It is, you know, they say the more things change, the more things stay the same.
Man, you
talked about the last time. We're still talking about this time.
Exactly. It's like, when are things going to change? When are they going to change? Like, does somebody need to have amnesia or something? Do we need a magic trick to happen? You know, some kind of like, you know how, that, you know, in that movie with Men in Black when they had that little flasher? Maybe that's what we need right about now because things are just out of control, out of control. But we do have our illustrious panel here today that's going to help us talk about these things. So let me take the time to introduce our illustrious panel. First, we have DJ Bliss of PLM St. Thomas, bringing the island flavor. We have DJ Waheed, our PLM DJ, who just delivered that hot DJ mix you just heard. We have the one and only Al Powell, bringing his PLM Philly sound. Also, we had to bring him back. We had to bring him back for this one. We did an interview with him last October. We have Mr. James Goodwin, who was in the Juice movie and the new Jack City movie, and was recently a contestant on the University of Dope game show that was broadcasted live on Facebook, and producer, director at NYC Live at Fashion Week coming in the summer of next year, 2022. Now, naturally, you know all this came together by our own beautiful PLM boss, Miss Spontaneous, the female artist who was managed by Tupac Shakur. She is also a three-time Hall of Fame inductee, sold over 352 million of movies, and still selling today. She has also received 9 awards of her accomplishments in the entertainment industry, including a Lifetime Achievement Award. Also, our beautiful boss became the valedictorian. That means number one, numero uno, of her class of 2020 from Full Sail University, and she will become Dr. Spontaneous of Business Administration and Strategic Marketing in 2023, including a second book that will be released about her life with her manager, Tupac Shakur, authored by Kevin Powell. As you know, this show is being brought to you by Spontaneous Radio Online, the one-stop shop for all of our PLM shows and events. So please stay tuned and updated for all upcoming shows and interviews. Now, before we go any further, and you already mentioned this, our thoughts and prayers do go out to the victims and those affected by the Champlain Towers, the South Condo in South Florida. We understand that now the death toll stands at 9. That's what we found out. So the death toll currently stands at 9, and more than 150 people are still missing. So again, our thoughts and prayers go out to you. And I must make a quick note that one survivor, Sharon Schechter, who was 60 years old, she describes her survival as she had to climb through the rubble in the dark with her dog until they found life. So I had to give that quick note of one of the survivors that survived that horrendous, horrendous collapse. And also,
my heart goes out to them.
Yes, definitely. Hearts go out. Our prayers go out. We are definitely thinking of you. And also, I have to mention here in D.C., there will be a memorial for the 5 journalists that lost their lives to the hand of a madman 3 years ago on tomorrow, June 28th of 2018, at the Capitol Gazette. Trump, one of the good things he's done as president, one of few, authorized the construction of a memorial on federal land here in D.C., signing the Fallen Journalists Memorial Act on December 23rd of last year. The massacre led former Congressman David Dreyer to begin collecting support for a memorial. So that lets you know that part of the state of what's going on. Again, thoughts and prayers go out to everyone that has definitely lost their lives, all family members that have been affected by these events. We all love you, and we're definitely hoping
and also,
praying for you.
As well, there will be some information on my Instagram with information for families who need to know about more info or just updated information in reference to Surfside, Florida, because I know each day there's going to be a different outcome each day as it goes along.
Definitely. And like I said, thinking about all of those families tonight, and I was watching today about what first responders are doing, and they're actually putting themselves in danger as well, in that they talked about how they actually had to dig the holes that they had to get through to get to any possible survivors. And it's, when you see situations like this, you are, it's mind-boggling to think that something can go the way that it went. And even then, I hope for a support from people who are stepping up and who are wanting to help out with these particular things.
What's the address?
First, we wanted to kind of go into one of the things here. We want to talk a little bit about
I just want to get the
because,
like
you said, the more things change, the more things seem to change. One of the things happening right now, as of tonight, going into the show, just to show you that globally, 180 million cases have been confirmed of COVID. Over 3 million deaths here in the U.S., over 600,000 and climbing, 33 million cases. It seems in some places that it has decreased, and I say that with an asterisk because it's still up there. It has decreased, but there are new variants that are out, and the CDC is very concerned about the Delta variant, which a lot of you have probably heard about. I guess one of the things tonight here that I want to kind of start around the board with the panel, because we're all in different, as all of you know, we're all in different places. In your neck of the woods and where you are at, it seems that things have gotten back to some sense of normalcy, or is there still a little bit of ways to go? And I guess at this point, I wanted to start with our special guest tonight, Mr. Goodwin, because you are in the epicenter, especially with New York and things that have gone on there. What have you seen there in that area?
First, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes.
Maybe. Okay. And being in New York, you know, it's been very, we've had a lot of people who were hesitant to get the shot and stuff like that. People said they didn't want to be the beta testers. But you have a lot of people who have gone out who have gotten the shot because they wanted to venture back out. They were tired of being locked in their houses or in their neighborhoods. So you see more people, and they have the campaign on the buses and the trains, you know, with the Statue of Liberty, with the Band-Aid, and encouraging people to take the shots and get the shots and things like that. A lot of places still, you know, social distancing, have your mask on, and a lot of people are still sticking to the mask thing too. You know, so but like you had the gay pride parade today, which was crazy, you know, and but you had a lot of people who didn't have masks on, but you had a lot of people who did, you know, so it's kind of like a mixed bag. So I think that you have more people in New York who are still concerned, but they feel a little bit safer, but they're still kind of leery. So, you know, it's a back and forth thing. But I think for the most part, you have more people who are still with it, who still understand it, who still respect it, and who are still doing it.
So that's, it seems to be a good thing. I know in some areas you especially, well, and we don't want to judge, but there are areas that are a little bit more conservative, especially in the South, that are a little bit behind as far as vaccines and their take on the virus itself. Kind of heading along that line now, being in Philly, what have you seen on the ground there as far as COVID and things getting back to sense of normalcy?
In my case, it's been pretty weird. I just actually attended a party before I got home, and the party was specifically done outside. The host and hostess, married couple, he's a scientist, and he just wanted to make sure that everybody, without like that everybody was vaccinated or acted accordingly. He wanted to have the party outside, which was perfect. And in all manners of speaking, seemed like it was pretty, for lack of a better word, normal. It felt good, but everybody, especially the children, there were children at the party. They stayed pretty much in the house, just playing with other people, other children. They all had, and everybody was hyper conscious for themselves and for other people.
I know three of the people at the party were cancer survivors, so they were concerned about other issues. But they all felt comfortable. So as I left, I thought, okay, I attended a party. It was outside. Everybody seemed to have a really good time. And mentally, it seemed like it was a good thing. But like I said, all in the background was major respect for the host and hostess, and for other people. I see more music opening up around me in different clubs and so forth. I've attended, I think, maybe two outdoor situations by promoters that are just slowly moving into trying to have fans play inside. So this is an outdoor that worked out really well. And promoters kind of look like, okay, this particular thing went well. They're sort of like doing the math in their head. We make sense of doing it inside. And I'm very hopeful, but I carry a mask everywhere. I'm more or less in the habit of it. And pretty careful about what I do and how I do it. And that's pretty much, you know, for most, and I'm also speaking for a fair amount of my friends as well.
Yeah. Well, the other interesting thing to note here is that we have three DJs here tonight. And if there is anybody that has seen how things have gone outside of this, I wanted to kind of go starting with Waheed and then Bless. Waheed, you've kind of been back in the mix here for a little bit. What are you seeing as you're out and about? I mean, are people kind of in that sense of, hey, this path is passing, or are we still taking precautions at events?
I still see people taking precautions at events, and what I've noticed is a pattern of is smaller crowds and bigger event spaces in terms of people wanting to social distance. I've also seen cases where if you have been fully vaccinated, you could go into the venue without a mask. If you have not been vaccinated and you are in the venue, you must wear a mask. That's what I've seen from so far in Baltimore City, Prince George's County, and Montgomery County, Maryland. And it to me, I would never say that it's going to be a sense of normal, because normal is what got us here in the first place, thanks to our last administration. Let's just keep it a buck with that. So, as you know, yes, my dates are filling up, but the conversation we're always going to have is everyone vaccinated? If you're not vaccinated, are you going to wear a mask? What is the policy? Because every jurisdiction in the state of Maryland is not on the same page. And what I mean by that is when they are not on the same page, for example, the governor of Maryland, Governor Hogan, would say Maryland has lifted their mask restrictions. People want to throw them up in the air like tassels when people at graduation do. And what happened is in Baltimore City, Brandon Scottman say, okay, well, according to the data here in Baltimore City, we cannot fully open, for example, restaurants at full capacity, and there's still going to be a mask mandate in place. So depending on which part of the state you live in, whether it's the urban area or whether it's the rural area or whether it's the suburban area, everybody's going to have a different set of experiences based on their lifestyle. So as a DJ at parties, I see people getting ready to, yes, I want to be vaccinated so I can get out the house again, because mental health is really, really important. Nobody likes the idea of being cooped up. And at the same time, I understand both sides of it as an entertainer, but at the same time, you still got to be careful.
And Bliss, what about you?
Very true.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, well, me and...
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say... which one of my friends made me realize. He said, what if it comes to the point where you have to carry around proof that you are vaccinated?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got mine. Yep.
You know, everybody got the little white card that tells when you first got vaccinated, when you got your second shot. But people, and then there are places I've seen this physically. If a person come in, they don't have a mask on. I don't want to wear a mask. Did you get vaccinated? Yeah. And the guy asked the person to show him.
Right.
You know, yeah. And the woman had to pull out her card out her pocketbook and show him. And he was like, okay. And then he let her in.
Right.
You know, I want to get, it's interesting that you guys brought up that take, because I wanted to, I know, Spahn, you have restricted your travel at least for this year.
Exactly.
And the guys here mentioned the fact of cards. Is this going to get to a point of where this is kind of, well, in its own little way, I guess, from a COVID sense, is this going to get to a way of the haves and the have-nots, of where if you have your card, you're going to be able to live your life, and if you don't have that card, we're going to still restrict you. And now we're living in this age of where people already don't want to be, I guess, bought down by a mask, but now possibly a card.
Right, right.
I guess that's the question.
And that's a good question. And that's a good question.
Do you see that happen?
Because I really do as it goes along, but I think still the mask will still be a mandatory thing. Because no matter where you go, there's going to be places that state you cannot come in here. Even though you got your shot, you still can't come in without a mask. So I think every place you go will have different situations. Like New York is one way of situations. Pennsylvania is a different situation. Chicago, DMV, Georgia, Virgin Islands. You know, so I just say to everyone, no matter what the situation is, your mask is going to be something that's a mandatory thing, because no matter where you go, it might be where you have to wear your mask, even though you have your identification stating that you had your two shots or one shot or whatever. But their policy of being comfortable in their mind is still you have to wear your mask, because some folks didn't get their shots, and they're wearing their mask as well. So it's I think right now we're still at a confusing situation right now, because this is something we've never experienced ever in our life, and it's a new adaption. And over here is doing one thing, and up the street is doing something else, and around the corner is doing something else. So it's getting used to whatever's going to happen as months and years go on. I think later down the road, maybe a year or so, I think we'll have some type of straight line situation. As a whole.
And I'm glad. Yeah, and I was going to say, you brought up something that actually is another point here, where one jurisdiction is doing one thing, another jurisdiction is doing something. I could be where I'm at, travel up the road, and it could be pretty much people looking at me because I don't have a mask on. I can tell you personally, from the ground here in Chicago, we went back to a full-scale, pretty much 100% restaurants and sporting events, and I was talking with a friend of mine, and I'm within the Chicago area, and outside of the Chicago area, if you go to the more conservative suburbs, where they pretty much have gone to pretty much no mask and will look at you like, why are you still wearing a mask? Should there be something across the board, or do you think it's working right now with different rules for different places depending upon where you're at?
I think across the board is going to be a challenge, only because we've seen from the beginning with the mask. Everyone wasn't doing that last year. And we see people were dying left and right. So it's still going to be a challenge. I just say to everyone, no matter how the situation looks, just have your mask in your pocket or just have it handy, because you just don't know what occurred once you get to your destination.
Right.
Right.
I think that's where, unless it's by law, and this is the law for the United States of America. If you don't have this or that, there will be a fine. If you don't have this or that, you're going to have to go to court. If you don't have this and that, you might go to jail for 10 days. That's the only way everything would go as everyone doing the same thing.
And that facts, what are you seeing on the ground where you're at?
Well, here in D.C., I can honestly say everything is pretty much open. The clubs, the lounges, restaurants, they're open. I think all that took place, like, last week. And I know next month, I know the DMV is going to start doing their full service. I think that's going to be starting, like July 12th or the 19th, I believe, is one of the dates. But I know it's next month. So things are opening up. Things are getting back to normal here. But you still have those that still decide they want to skirt the rules, if you will. Because I know, you know, we've talked a lot about this even off air, where I believe that when it comes to this pandemic, it's still going to continue on, even with the vaccinations going on. And I'm seeing with the numbers here that it looks like it's about 179.3 million globally that's been vaccinated. 153 million here in the States have been vaccinated. But I haven't seen a trend where they say, like, there's, what, 765.8 thousand doses per day that were administered here in the States, but that's like a 38% decrease. I mean, we could take it, you know, with a grain of salt, and maybe that's a good thing, meaning that, you know, more and more people are getting vaccinated, so that means they don't have to administer as many. But maybe that also could mean that you have people that's like, you know what, well, since everybody else is getting vaccinated, I don't. You know, so it's like I don't want to get stuck with needles, you know, and but that's pretty much been it. And I know on the DJ side, I know for me, it's been like, you know, I've been kind of slow as far as taking gigs, and just while going back to the point of Waheed, you know, the groups are smaller. No longer are you going to see the big crowds in big places or big crowds in small places. That day is over. That day is over. So you may get an average of maybe 30, 40, maybe 50, maybe 100, depending on what it is. But those like massive crowds, that's it. Because there may be, because you're going to still have people who are still going to be a little bit apprehensive about joining larger crowds. So that day is done. So that's basically what I'm saying.
Especially
when there's no social distancing.
There you go.
Yes. But also, too, do we understand that what that's going to affect? Now the places that do have those people, their prices are going to go up.
Yep.
Because they got to still make money, you know?
Right.
You know, you want your season tickets, you know, in the Lakers, for the Lakers, you'll get first option, but you go, nah, I don't want to pay that. They're going to be like, okay, no problem, because they got somebody that's willing to pay $10,000 more. Because they got to make up the money they lost. Think of what they places like Madison Square Garden lost in the pandemic. You know, bananas.
It will be, the cost will be sent over back to the consumer.
back to the average people. You will be paying $10 for like a small popcorn.
But climate-wise, the ozone hole has closed, from what I've been reading, because there haven't been a lot of people outside. That's what I've been hearing. Yes. The ozone hole has actually closed.
So there may be a silver lining to this pandemic, since everybody wasn't outside. The ozone hole was like, oh, thank God. I can finally close up now, finally.
Ooh,
you know, I don't know if anybody knows. Right. The air has been smelling a little bit clearer lately. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But, you know, that's just
true.
My personal take.
And it's
also
very
important to bring that. Right. Like, I also want to bring
up the
point
where I'm at in Queens, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've noticed that where I'm at, like, I'm in, you know, in New York City. They're having an event in Roy Wilkins Park. And to me,
It's like people are being nicer to each other. People are like happy to be out, you know, like,
right.
So it's like
right. Much humble.
People being
humbleness.
You know, yes, yes, yes.
I think in life, we as human beings have to experience something because we've been doing very disturbing things for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, a situation occurs that really will terrify us. Now, some people might learn from that experience, and then some people will not learn from that experience.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel that's the way life experience is, because really we're here, we never thought, when we've been doing radio from the beginning, from the very beginning of doing radio or doing tour, we never thought, like, if somebody told us one day, guess what, this virus is going to happen and it's going to be like that movie The Outbreak, we're like, no.
Yeah.
unrealistic.
Yeah.
We might have something like the flu, but we're not going to have where thousands and millions of people. There's no way that's going to happen. No, no, no. And you see, we are here as human beings seeing this. And we're not through the tunnel. The tunnel we haven't gone through the tunnel completely, everyone. So that's why I say to everyone, always still wear your mask. And all the listeners and everyone who's listening in on my show and our show tonight, still carry that mask. And still be wise on social distancing, because it's still out here. No scientist or doctor said, okay, the virus is cured. Everyone's cured. They never said that. Never. They said it's going to take some years.
Not mention of a cure at all. You're right.
Right. They said it's going to take some years to create a cure for any virus that has ever existed. That's all I comprehend in my brain of what they said. So...
okay.
My life
there you
has
go.
Been embraced with math.
Okay.
So.
Sit here and think about how, where humankind, I didn't say black, white, whatever, has come from. And think about how every time we do get to a certain place, like Spawn said, we get humbled. And think about how in the last 100 years, how much humankind has progressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In everything, in every area, in every area. Because remember, it wasn't too long ago that we went to the moon. It's not that long ago, you know, that we got
off
the planet.
If it wasn't televised.
Exactly, exactly.
It wasn't stage from what they've been saying, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you know, that was all on a sound stage back then, so that's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we do have to be humbled and understand that there are things bigger than us.
Exactly.
You know,
much bigger
than
that.
Yeah, but I definitely got to go back to that. But I definitely got to go back to that song. I was just thinking about how we have to, like, still social distance. That song by Sting, "Don't Stand So Close to Me." So you need to have that song in your CD case over there. You know, don't stand so.
Exactly.
Don't stand. You know how it goes. Cause especially like now, like you said, with everything opening up, you have your arenas opening up, your bars, your lounges, everything. And I must speak on this really quick, and I'll definitely ask you all this question. When it comes to everything that's been opening up, I'm pretty sure you've heard of fans spitting on and throwing bottles at players. I'm pretty sure that you've heard of people actually brandishing guns at a beach. Brandishing guns at a beach. Yes, brandishing guns. I'm going to say it again. Brandishing guns at a beach. I'm like, what state of mind are you in to be that violent in a place where you're supposed to relax? You know, so I must pose this question. I must pose this question, and I'll definitely start with you, DJ Bliss, because I know you. I know you got something that you got to say that's on your mind. So I'm gonna start with you, and my question would be, what do you feel is the state of society right now, quasi? Post-pandemic, what do you believe the state of society is?
With me, the state of society right now is not like how we grew up, you know, how we came up with right now, because with the COVID vaccine and the COVID disease and all the stuff, it's going to take, you know, years, you know, before it actually even, you know, gets eradicated. And then with us, still some people out there are still ignorant to the whole fact of this whole thing. So with the society out there right now, they need, a lot of people need to come to the understanding that it's not going anywhere right now. And we need to follow certain guidelines to the point of, you know, mask up. You know, if you feel sick, stay home, because I've, you know, witnessed at my job people coming to work sick, and I'm like, look, y'all need to not be here, because you don't know if you have the cold, a regular cold, or you don't know if you have the COVID, because you're going to go and, you know, make everybody inside this warehouse sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting down here looking at the numbers for the doses of the Virgin Islands, how many people have taken have gotten the vaccine, and it's like 40,830 has gotten the first dose, and 33,844 has gotten the second dose. And that's basically 70, like what they say right now online is about 74 doses per 100 people. And
right.
I'm looking at us being a small island, you know, we are supposed to be U.S. territory. We should mm-hmm. at least have more people vaccinated down there than anything else.
Right.
Because we have, I'm thinking about 500,000 to probably 800,000 throughout the whole island put together. And
mm-hmm.
that's not even touching a good percentage of the island.
Right.
So with the society right now, throughout the whole world, we need to get more proactive on what is going on around us.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. So yeah. I will move to you, James. What do you believe is the state of society currently?
I believe that society is very scared because we've never had to deal with, since like the Black Plague, never had mm-hmm. to deal with anything like this on this level before. And mm-hmm. it's a very scary thing because people don't know. It's like from now on, right, whenever people are gathered, let's say on the bus in New York, right, you're on the bus mm-hmm. and somebody coughs, everybody going to look at them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be like that. For like, yeah, but like, you know, everybody's going to be like, hold up, you know. Yeah, just yep. a cough. Like, kind of like, you know, I see it on the bus where people are, like, sitting apart and, you know, nah, you got to back up, homeboy. Like, you got to, you know, move a little bit. And, I mean, I come from when they used to be, like, pushing each other to get in the train.
So
know?
My question is to you, James.
Because
I never took buses. It's been years. But my question to you on a public bus. Right at this time, do they have people standing in the aisles? You know, many years ago, it was be packed in them on the buses. So is you can't do that now. Is that something that's
very,
not allowed?
Very little. It's not that it's not allowed. It's honestly, people are taking that initiative, like looking and going, nah, that bus is too crowded. I'll wait for the next one.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. people are doing that. Mm-hmm. It's still, you know, it does, it's like, I knew the seat number, I can't remember it, but it'll be one person, it'll be two seats, it'll be one person. It's four seats together,
right.
It'll be one person, one seat, one person. If the bus gets crowded, mm-hmm. then people will kind of sit next to each other, but they'll still be kind of trying not to invade the other person's space.
Right.
And then when it gets to a point where it may be like a few people standing in the aisle or something like that, people will ask, mm-hmm. I've seen people get on the bus and look and back up and be like, I'll take the next one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because
you know,
why I asked you that question, a mansion, the plane, how do they do that, you know, far as?
It, right.
It's not like wide
right.
seats. Everybody is sitting next to each other. So.
Yes.
Is that a comfortability where, because you can't stand in the aisle of a plane. You have to sit. So I wonder one versus the other. That's just unique right now, my opinion.
No, that's in New York, that's how it is right now. It's very rush hours. Even like if I was able to take a picture of the old rush hour pre-COVID, even rush hour
mm-hmm.
now is very, it's less amount of people. You have more
mm-hmm.
people
waiting for the next train and stuff like that,
right,
because people are still concerned. So they, you know, they're,
right,
they're
exactly
kind of consciously doing that.
Which they should be, yeah, which is why. Wow.
Well, I'm thinking maybe more people are just driving more because I have seen more temporary tags on cars.
You do have that too. People in their cars, like, here we go. You know, people in their cars doing their thing, and I'll take that car. We'll drive and we'll find a space. You know?
Yeah, because it's easy to find now, because what I've been seeing is that car sales have been surging nationally.
Yes.
So that lets you know, like you said, it goes to your point of you have people who are just don't want to be in those enclosed space spots. So they're like, you know what?
Right.
I'm going to get me a car. And it's not necessarily a new car. It's a used car.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
That's what they're going for, because I'm pretty sure that everybody that's been out in the highways, because I've been keeping an eye on them, I've been seeing more temporary tags, those 30-day tags. Those tags you get, like, as soon as you buy a car, I've been seeing more of them. In fact, more than the ones that are actually registered. So that's letting you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to continue on the question because it's a good one. I want to get Al first and then Waheed because, you know, when we talk about a return to society for folks and if things have gotten better because people have been humble, on the flip side of that, you have seen stories of people who, now that they're back out, are a little bit more bold in regards to their feelings about the vaccine and wearing masks. And you've seen on videos of people who have confronted store clerks or restaurant workers or people who have been short with restaurant workers because there's still a shortage in that area. Or even now, what you're hearing almost on a weekly basis of things happening on planes where flight attendants have been assaulted or people trying to get into the cockpit or trying to open the door.
It's something you see continuing.
Yeah. Are those just side stories or is it overall people are a lot more humbled or do you see a little bit of friction now that people are back out and back among the general population?
Real quick. I have seen all of that. I've seen people who still believe, you know, COVID is a conspiracy. I ain't get it. I didn't get no shot. I'm okay. You know, I see people, I don't need no mask. Yo, what you bugging? And you'll see everybody with a mask, and they'll come on, and they'll have no mask. I've seen bus drivers stop people, you know, for entering, like, you need a mask, you know, it's a public, because everybody rides the bus. I don't want no mask. And they would stand there and argue with the bus driver. Because they don't want to wear a mask. So it's in New York, I know you're seeing the mix of all that. You're seeing all those different attitudes.
And what about you, Al?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think the thing that wigs me out about the society at large is the lack of respect that we have for one another. It's tough when you don't know things. We deal with information. We get our information from scientists and people that have knowledge. You know, we ask for it. That's part of the job. They're supposed to do the research, give us the information, and we act accordingly, hopefully with respect to others. I was just on less than 10 days. Spontaneously this route. I went from Chester, Pennsylvania, down to Philadelphia. So I had to take a bus to what we call 9th Street, and then jump on what we call the L. So I was above ground for a little bit, and then I was on a subway thing. I did take a lot of time to notice where I was seated. Like LeVar said, there's seats that were crossed off with construction tape. Were not to sit there. Other seats were open. It was roughly every third seat and every other aisle. People got on the bus. They did stand in the aisle, something that I would make note of for spontaneous. They did do that. Everybody on all public transportation I took, everybody had masks. Like I said, I wear a mask or have a mask on at all times. So, or like looking at their cell phones and so forth. I thought people were very nice, but nervous. The nervousness amongst our culture usually refers to people being
for lack of a better word, like short with one another. Like people mm-hmm. who are nervous get clammy, and it's almost as if they're ready for road rage. And
short temper.
Speaking of road, since there's what we'll call it public transportation, you're right. I see a whole lot more people on the roads. And those people are like crazy. They're all in their little vehicles. I get that. Everybody's still safe. But, man, time is an issue. I guess they're trying to get to or from somewhere. And mm-hmm. people are just flying. And it makes me nervous. I mean, on the one hand, I am so happy to be out amongst people with, once again, all due respect to everything. Sort of like, okay. I'm going to wear my mask. I want to be really careful. I don't go around people that cough. You know, it's sort of like common sense. But on the other hand, to watch the masses at large interact,
mm-hmm.
especially with alcohol involved in clubs and weddings and parties, it's like, ouch. You know,
right.
once again, I revert back to like, wow, this is American human behavior. And it's like, man, it makes me nervous. I mean, I'm trying my best to be vocal. I'm trying my best to be positive. I really work on it. I mean, I go outside. I go to the nearby, like we'll call them convenience stores. Out here, they're called Wawa. And people
mm-hmm.
wear
mm-hmm.
I do see more signage. Hey, look, please wear a mask. And this probably dovetails into another topic, but in regards to people being short with one another, people that go out or have been wanting to go out, go to restaurants, there's nobody working. So there's less staff, which means you wait longer for food, get
for
more
food.
Agitated.
Mm-hmm.
And then before they know it, they're yelling at the owner, who's like not only making the food, delivering the food, taking the order over the phone and then trying his best or her best to bring you the food. It's crazy. I feel it. I just feel tension and stress more than I've ever felt before over a longer period of time.
Right.
Now, have you seen the same thing? Have you seen people getting at least better, or do you think that it's still the same as it was before COVID?
Yo, I live in Baltimore City. Let's just start right there. As optimistic as I like to be, and I travel the state, Virginia, D.C., PA, to DJ events. I live in Baltimore City and work from home during the day. As of today, Baltimore has already surpassed 160 homicides. That's more than what they had last year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The state prosecutor here in Baltimore, Marilyn Mosley, they say they won't prosecute petty offenses anymore. What that means, petty offenses like drugs, prostitution, that sort of thing. Petty crimes is what they listed. So do I see people being humbled? I see people being more emboldened. At times when I come home late from a gig at night, whether it be at 1 or sometimes 2 a.m., I see these transvestite prostitutes on the street. Soliciting. Maybe they're a block up north or a block down south from where I'm at. I see them on the corner. I don't see people being humbled by this. I just see people as reacting to being caged up so long and then getting out. It's not that I'm not hopeful, but it's what I see. The numbers don't lie. A lot of statistics do not lie when it comes to crimes and petty crimes here in the city of Baltimore alone. I can turn on the news and see the violence when you see videos of cops being overly aggressive, like what happened in Ocean City a few weeks ago. Then you can see people, from what I saw on the news, drinking in public in Fells Point. It's a tourist spot in Baltimore east of the harbor. People getting together, they want to get out, they want to have parties. But it's one of those situations, unfortunately, when you've been pent up so long, sometimes a lot of people don't know what to do with that energy. So they just want to figure a way to just let it out, but they have no control over it. It's like, and I'm not giving nobody an excuse. Crime is crime. I don't care what the color of your skin is crime, period. Nobody wants to deal with that shit, so let's keep it real. I don't see it getting better. Even when I go to Northern Virginia and I'm staying overnight at a hotel, some people will walk in the store without a mask.
and look and look around as if they want somebody to test them.
You
know what I'm saying? I'm 5'8". I'm too short to go to jail. So I walk in, mask on, get what I need to get, and bounce the hell out. That's what
I'm too fat.
Yeah, you know, I'm hopeful, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to have to call, you know, my family up saying, hey, I got locked up because somebody stood too close to me and I swung on them. My thing it's unfortunate right now. It's about self-preservation. Bottom line, it's about self-preservation because sometimes you don't know what's going to happen, especially with the racial climate we're still dealing with right now. You don't know what is going to happen when people start tripping like that. So do I see people being humbled by this experience? The customers that I deal with in the party environment, whether it's a wedding, reception, anniversary, celebration, you know, those are the ones that I run into that are appreciative about life. I take a quote from a friend of mine who passed away from cancer a couple of years ago. She had a hashtag called MMOP, and I remind my guests every time, this is an opportunity to make memories on purpose. That's what that hashtag is for, make memories on purpose, because we're celebrating life. We survived the pandemic. We're still surviving the pandemic. So that's one of the things as an entertainer, as a DJ who plays for happy occasions and make people smile and shake their asses on the dance floor, that's what keeps me motivated. But if it wasn't for what we're doing here now, if it wasn't for everything else that we do outside of here in terms of what our heart and our passion is, I don't know if I cannot honestly say that I will be in a, let's just say, more jovial mode.
Right.
I agree.
So
because actually there's a lot of people out there that's less fortunate, and their mental state is off balance. There's been a lot of abuse, a lot of depression. So every household, every person's situation is so different, and still the challenge is still occurring. And that's the thing. So I always look at the whole when it comes to the whole planet, when it comes to human beings. And you have all different mental states. And some people say, let me try to do more positive things through this whole closed-in situation at home, especially last year.
Right.
What could I do to feed my brain, to keep myself positive? And some people were getting depressed, and some people were being abused. So many different things. And then now we're still in this situation, even though there's a lot of angry people out there, a lot of hostile people, a lot of upsetting people, a lot of lovable people. So, I don't see, you know, we're still in this fickle situation, don't know what to do. And I think that's why we're still not at a straight line yet, because we're still fighting something that we don't see called COVID-19.
Right.
We can't see it.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's buried in our immune system.
It's the also to please let us remember that from children we are taught we're social animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are not meant to be alone. We love each other. We want to see each other. We want to interact with each other. And you take that away. You know, there's some people, one, I know that there's people who broke up because of COVID. There's people who were not used to being together, you know, for that long. They couldn't go to work and get away
A lot of that was domestic violence, too, because once they got together and they realized they weren't the person they thought they were before the pandemic, you know, they was like, oh, I ain't no use this dirty. Oh, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
They was like, as soon as this pandemic is lifted, I'm out.
My sister was cracking me up because she said, you know what? We got to fund these teachers more. Because she didn't have her kids for like 8 hours. She said, 8 hours a day, not dealing with her kids. And she was cracking up. Like, she was like, yo, I can't. You know, and everything.
Those parents are learning their true nature of their kids. Now, all of a sudden, you're seeing these parents now like, we understand what was going on. We are so sorry. Anything you call us about, we'll feed you dinner. We know. We get it. We couldn't stand our own child for the same 8 hours. We get it. We understand. No. We didn't know that little Bobby or little Jackie, you know, was devilish. We didn't understand. Right. We thought you were crazy saying, "Oh, you," because you're not parents. Like, "Oh, my baby, that's not my baby. That's not my baby." After 8 hours of pandemic, that was my baby. Oh man. Oh, I got to call
everyone.
I got to call him.
Yeah.
We see him at parties.
Everybody
learned
something.
They do.
Through this whole situation. But there's also some situations that there were abused households.
Yep.
And that they were stuck there.
Yeah.
Had no choice.
That occurred too.
Had no choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had no choice.
And that's the thing as well. So I just feel that there's so much, there's a lot of negative out there, but there's a lot of positive out there. We're just embracing something that's new, and we're never going to go back to the old normalcy. There's no such thing. We'll be embracing the new normalcy as months and years go on. So we're in a different transitioning right now. We're in a transitioning that everyone has to start adapting to.
Yeah.
Some will get used to it and some will never because it's too challenging for them. So we're at that moment right now.
And during a pandemic, which leads us into one of our other topics of discussion tonight, on January 6th, and for those of you who are offended, we'll call it what it was. It was an insurrection. A lot of people will say, no, it was just a protest. It was what it was. It was an insurrection.
Oh, no, an organized protest, if we remember the sound like it.
Organized.
Which is even more protest.
Yeah. here are the numbers from what we know at that point. Over 140 officers were injured. Over 400 people to date have been arrested. $30 million in property damage. 2,300 National Guard troops were deployed. Three Capitol officers lost their lives in that peaceful protest, as people like to call it. You can tell I am doing the finger motion. 147 GOP members voted to overturn an election.
That disturbed me right there.
It is disturbing in itself. And among the latest news in regards to still investigating this, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi this week is trying to put together a January 6th commission. Politico has actually an interesting article out, if you have not read it, in regards to who might these people be that will sit on this commission, what the purpose of the commission will be. But there is one coming. The Speaker of the House is trying to put that together. But I wanted to kind of go across the table here and get everyone's thoughts on that day, because you surely, like I was watching TV and watching what you thought seemed to be – it almost seemed like something out of a bad movie, where you thought the people were just going to stop right where they were at and protest, and then one thing led to another. And here you saw on TV – people going to a sacred institution such as the House and putting one person at one point putting their feet up on the podium.
Which so
is
disturbing.
A total disrespect of our government. Of our government. Spahn, I guess I want to start with you first and your thoughts on January 6th.
Extremely disturbing, definitely. It wasn't like I was saying, am I dreaming? But I'm just saying, I don't understand the scenario, because these were grown folks. These weren't children. These weren't 15 and 12-year-olds. These are somebody's parents.
Right.
And what I didn't understand is how a human being can climb a building like Spider-Man, and there was no fire.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is a government building. This is the building for the United States of America. This is a government building, and what do you think you were going to get out of this? Because, first of all, there was no such thing as
everyone was humble, and this was just like a lovely day sightseeing in Washington, D.C. No, you broke into a building. You broke the windows. You broke in. You invaded someone. You invaded a government building. You were an attacker. You were a terrorist. But what's so disturbing to me is these were Americans who was attacking our American building of the United States of America. That's
right.
What's so disturbing to me, because we as Americans have to worry about other countries that are attacking our own country. And then you have your own people, Americans, attacking our own building of a government building. And what was you going to get? I'm still trying to figure out what the heck do they think they were going to get out of this. And then you have the politicians, who I just don't understand their scenario of what they think they're going to get out of this by you not even acknowledging and talking to all the officers who were protecting a government building during that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them died. That's right there, and you're saying that you represent the law enforcement? Excuse me? How?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that was totally embarrassing for our country, because other countries will always remember January 6, 2021 in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And our enemies, you already know, they were laughing. They were laughing at us. A total embarrassment. But what? What are you getting out of it? So all those crazy people lost their jobs, those delusionals lost their jobs. They're locked up. Huh? This was your plan? You actually spent money to go to Washington, D.C. that day to do this. And you're somebody's parent.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to understand. You're somebody's parent. A lot of those folks were parents who have children. And you did what? Now, my question, and I know lots of people are asking, will that ever occur again in the future?
Pentagon
yes
has
or
to
no.
step in.
I don't
think
it's
going to
ever happen like that.
No, not on that scale, no.
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 But if someone's just going to try to just do some, you know, craziness on the streets or something. But I just, it was just uncalled for and so embarrassing. And I'm like, we really have a lot of delusional human beings here in the USA. I'm just like speechless on that, because I just don't understand what was the cause for that. All that energy to do something like that. And I'm still trying to understand a human being climbing a building like Spider-Man. And it was no fire. That's what I'm saying. Now, if there's a fire, I can understand. Let's climb the building, try to get away from the fire because it keeps spreading or whatever. But climbing a building, government building, huh? And breaking into somebody's office and come on.
Yeah.
Uncalled for. Really sad.
Yeah.
Really sad. It really is.
Sad, it's mind-boggling.
Really,
and one of the most interesting things, if you are online, USA Today actually has a running tally of every person that has been arrested so far, along with the charges, what happened, and their background, among some of which was, of course, a U.S. Marine Corps veteran, and then people from every other walk of life were law enforcement officials. I do believe even in here there was someone that is a member of a clergy. It is
unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is, because I always say in life, you know, you have people who are their brain is not there. Everybody has a brain, but some of them brains aren't screwed on right. And I say to myself, you always got to look back to their whole history, maybe starting from when they were a child, or an adult. Because I know everybody in life just does not just say, I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. to do this or do that. And are you, were you saying something, DJ Bliss?
No. I was waiting for my turn to come on and reply to the storm in the Capitol. What were your thoughts on that, Bliss? To me, that was just a, planned strategy by the former president. And he tried to see, you know, what his so-called people would do to try and see if they can get the voting overturned. And it failed miserably. And it was just, to me, it looked like just a whole lot of Trump supporters looking stupid because the votes that were put in still would not have, you know, been overturned because of what they did. Because the unanimous votes killed the whole Trump organization, to me. So with that whole storm of the Capitol, to me it was to no avail, and nothing even, you know, came about it. People going to jail, a couple people getting killed, you know, the security not even doing anything. They're letting people just walk in there with no problem. You know, it was to no avail. It didn't make any sense.
And the officers and all were outnumbered as well. They didn't just let them walk in.
Yeah.
Definitely they didn't just say, hey, come on in. Y'all just go do what you do. You had all these people and they were outnumbered. They were outnumbered.
Yeah.
They really were. And that's the thing. So it's just really terrible because the tongue is very powerful. When you speak, the tongue is very powerful.
Very.
What occurred that day motivated many people to go attack our government building.
James, I want to get your thoughts on January 6th.
That was an organized event, and was possibly what they tried to use it to further the means to an end, which it was just, it became very stupid. There is something I want you guys to look up. They're called anarchists. And that is one of the things I honestly feel were used. They were used to make something bigger, you know, or get this spin on something. And he definitely wanted to do that. I mean, whether or not it's, you know, sometimes people do stuff just to show you that they can do it, whether they get, you know, what they want or not. But it's like the biggest thing, like Swan has said, who had done that? Who would, like, you guys have the balls to storm the Capitol building? Like, really? Like, cause, I mean, I've always believed that approaching government buildings like that was not allowed. They're supposed to shoot you on sight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why
it
would never happen again.
Yeah.
Because I know.
Yeah.
Waheed, your thoughts?
Well, first off, I want to say Officer Eugene Goodman is my hero. And this is the first time that I will feel safer working at home in Baltimore than working in D.C. Where I work at, it is my office is not too far from there. And as a matter of fact, it's not too far from the White House. And this is one of the reasons why the pandemic has been a blessing in a sense where I was not in the office that day. I was, able to sit here in the comfort of my own home and watch it, and it was, I feel that it is an embarrassment. It was a slap in the face. It was an insult, and to, especially as a black person, because had it been black people that would have been doing that protest, there would have been guns and blood, more blood that day. You know, and to me, it's not about, well, what if. We've seen protesters who are protesting for black lives get maced. We've seen where
the former president, negative 45 at the time, got people rushed out of there, forced out of there by force, just so he can get a photo op with a Bible turned upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with James when he said this was definitely orchestrated. He definitely went to do ventures to see if he can overturn the election. And he would have gotten the most votes, this would not have happened. And this is what he was, you know, giving dog whistles out to the Proud Boys, telling them to stand by. Y'all remember those debates that took place last year? He was giving them dog whistles like, hey, just get ready, be ready. So, you know,
yeah,
would have happened again?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was motivating them. And, you know, I agree with Sparman and said, you know, he used the power of his tongue, his forked tongue, to go ahead and motivate these people. So, I mean, I don't see it happening again, at least in the near future, but I still say it's an embarrassment. At least right now they are still, you know, tracking down people and making arrests, but they're not doing it fast enough in my opinion. That's all.
And Al, what were your thoughts about January 6th?
I guess I've heard the word embarrassment probably the most, and I certainly feel that way. I was bummed. I mean, I just felt like, man, this is just not the way to. It bothers me. I mean, it deeply bothers me that we communicate this way, that we can't communicate. You know, there's storming things and violence. It's against everything that I think about. You know, it just bums me out. And I don't mean it to sound like a coward's way of thinking, but it's like, you know, it just, I'm sitting home at the, well, actually I was driving around. And I had heard it over the news, and then I saw it again on TV from the security of my home. And I'm like, I just can't believe we act like this. And,
exactly.
You know, and Spontaneous said, you know, something that I thought about quite a bit. You know, here I am. I'm just an American watching TV. And then you think about our enemies and people that don't necessarily like us, and they're watching the same thing I'm watching. On,
exactly.
Okay, well, we really just don't have to wait too long for this place to fall apart. And
exactly.
And I'm like, oh, that helps them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have, we will always remember 9/11.
Right.
Enemies of our, who was against our country. So
yeah.
For us to be attacking our own, that's, come on with that. We have serious enemies in other countries. Don't think that everything is just all icing right now. No, it's not. As we watch things, they're watching exactly what we're watching.
Did you see that?
And they were happy to see January 6th. They were extremely happy. So something like that, you know, Americans, hello, because to me, I believe in democracy. I believe there's other countries that do not have what we have in our country, and I've traveled many countries. They don't have. We don't want to be a situation where it could twist and we don't have democracy anymore. We all should realistically come together. It's not about all this craziness, because that's not going to solve anything. When you have other people in other countries who really are against us, seriously,
you know
against
what?
Us.
You know what, Spawn? I'm glad you said that, because I've had a thought for a long time, and it's like people actually don't appreciate democracy.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
They're right. They don't appreciate the fact that you can speak out against your government, that there's nobody kicking your door down, dragging you away,
and
because your neighbor said, you know, yeah, because your neighbors was like, yo, you know what he said? He said so-and-so and so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, 2 o'clock in the morning, they break your door down to come drag you out.
And arrest you.
Yep.
That happens still to this day, 2021. You know the journalist, I believe, he's right now, we're in Russia or whatever, they've given him whatever amount of time. Probably they're going to kill the man in jail. I don't know. But the thing of it is, it's just that going to another country and saying how many children you can have. I've been to countries like that. That's a law. You can't have no more than 2 children. That's the law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here in America, you have welfare. You have public assistance.
other countries don't have that. They don't know what that means. So if homeless people, they don't have shelter homes, America do. We have a lot. We have a lot to maybe complain about, but we have a lot more to be fortunate about.
Remember, too,
but they,
in here.
But it can twist. It can go back. So that's why people have to remember. Things can go way back. The law can change and go way back. And we don't need that. So we have to all come as one. I have friends who are Republicans, independent, and I'm a proud Democrat. Okay? And we don't debate about anything. I love them dearly. We don't debate about cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, Donald Trump, all that. Donald really didn't care about anything that has to do with anything. If Hillary was a Republican, he would have ran as a Democrat because that would have been the availability at that moment. Because truly he was Democrat and became independent, so all of a sudden he became Republican because that was the availability during the time he was running as a president. But his whole situation is you always got to look at the track record of somebody. And if they're screwing up their whole business themselves and bankruptcy over bankruptcy, do you think this person is going to be a good candidate for the president of the United States of America? No, not at all.
A lot of people were duped into it. They were.
Thinking that maybe he would change.
He's
his
the
time. There's no such thing as he's going to change. The only thing I can respect about Donald, he showed you himself at the beginning. He never sugarcoated. That's the thing. That's the only thing I could say about him. He never sugarcoated at the beginning. What you've seen is what you're going to get as it goes along. That's the thing. That's the thing with him. But it's just truly sad because he's making a lot of people on the Republican side really bad in so many ways. And that's why, you know, Democrats, we all got the house all over the White House because of Donald. Donald screwed it up for many situations for people. He really did. So they have to really open the eyes. And I say, well, hopefully, once election time comes again, it won't be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and it will be somebody who has a brain who's running as a Republican. Because if you got Donald again, I'm letting you know, here we go again.
I'm not going to put out a name, but I'm just saying to look no further than Florida.
Right.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Unfortunately, I have to agree with that. Unfortunately, I have to agree with it. Yeah.
That is the prediction that I am putting out right now. So,
but I just say to everyone, it's important to always vote, no matter what. It's important to vote, not just during primary, but vote every time. Because when it comes to before you even vote for a president, you should vote every time there's an election, because that has to do with who's going to be in the seat as far as your judges in your city, state, and county. So all those different steps is really, really important. So I always just tell everybody to just vote. You know, no matter what, vote. Yeah.
And also,
it's important.
Let me add to that we need to do that because being a senator and all that, it should not be a lifetime position.
Right.
You know, if ideals change, you shouldn't be in the Senate for 20 years because you're still doing the same thing with the same constituents and you still got to fill the same promises that you made before. So you do need that younger blood in and those younger ideals.
Very true. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few minutes left, and if you will permit me, there was one question that I know if we went without this evening without mentioning that it would probably be leaving off on our end. But I wanted to kind of go around the round table here. In just a couple of minutes apiece, if each of you could give me your thoughts. This past week, last we spoke about the George Floyd trial. Mm-hmm. Officer Derek Chauvin was sentenced this week to 22 and a half years in prison.
Right.
Which brings a lot of questions as to whether it was enough, too little, or too much. But I kind of want to go around the roundtable real quick to get your opinions. And I know Svahn is really going to have the best answer, so we're going to come to her last in this one.
Okay, all right.
But I wanted to, I know how you feel about this. That's why I'm going to come to you last on that one. I want you to have a last
no
word.
No problem.
On this. But I wanted to start first with James in regards to his thoughts now that this case has, in its own self for now, has completed itself, and we have a verdict and we have, you know, the sentence. What were your thoughts?
I thought that the sentence being done was good, but also I recognize the duality that we have in the law of how people of color are treated and people of color are sentenced, and crimes against people of color are treated and those people are sentenced. So I understand it. It's going to be there. It's something that's been for a while. It's going to take a while to change. But I'm glad that it happened. It's like kind of like a stepping stone, you know? I mean, some people, sometimes they give us stuff to placate us, you know, but we got to take it and we got to make sure we step and build so that it doesn't happen again and that we use it. I mean, not too many generations ago, they were still hanging black people in trees and nobody was getting in trouble. You know, nobody's getting in trouble. So, I mean, I'll take the half step forward instead of the two steps back.
Mm-hmm.
And Bliss, your thoughts?
Well, to me, I really think should have got life, because if it was the other way around and it was a black man, he would have gotten life. It was a senseless murder, and they just gave him a slap on the wrist. No matter if 22 years, that's still a slap on the wrist. If it, like I said, if it was a black man, he would have gotten life. A black officer would have gotten life, because they'd have probably just said, you know what, we're going to just put it to the point where, you know, black man killing a black cop killing a white man, he would have been in jail for life, period. No matter what the situation was, if he had officers trying to pick him up or something like that, he would have still been in jail for life. Because it's a whole race thing, number one. A black officer would not get the same charge as Chauvin. He would have gotten
right
to the point. That was my take on it.
Right.
Waheed, your thoughts? We can still hear me. All right, thank you. For the last 9 minutes and 29 seconds of George Floyd's life, he should get 10 years each for those minutes and seconds that George Floyd had his life. The fact that this fool got, they actually had his mother come on and speak at his sentencing, talking about, oh, he doesn't deserve time. George Floyd didn't need to die. Oh, he's such a good officer. George Floyd is still dead. It's not enough time. There is not enough time. 22 and a half years, and he could, with the possibility
emergency
of being out in 12?
28 East 30th Street.
Yeah.
Is somebody on location right now? That DJ Waheed? I'm sorry, DJ Bliss.
Can you hear me?
Are you on location?
No.
Yeah, I'm actually home.
Feedback. We need, there's feedback going on, so we can hear Waheed. Okay, Waheed, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. As I was saying, there is not 22 and a half years when he could be out in 12 is not enough time. What murderer do you know that would have the mother come on and speak as a character witness on his behalf? Who do we know that murdered somebody and had their mama come on there talking about he's a good officer, he's been there almost 20 years? He should have known better. And we all saw the video. George Floyd is still dead. Talking about, oh, his life is going to change dramatically. George Floyd is dead.
22 and a half years is not enough. For the last 9 minutes and 29 seconds of George Floyd's life, they should multiply it by 10 and give it to that fool. And those other officers, they're not exempt from that neither. One of them was his brother-in-law. You can miss me with all that. 22 and a half years is not enough. I mean, and I'll ask you a question again. Who do we know that committed murder and then, you know, allowed, and the court's going to, the prosecutor, the defendant's going to allow the mother to come in and speak on their behalf? Fuck all that. I'm out. George Floyd is dead.
I'm pretty much the same. I just think it's disgraceful. It should have been the full amount. There should be no discussion about it. There should be. It's just wrong. I mean, I think it was DJ Bliss or somebody said that they'll take the half step forward rather than the two steps back. I just think he should have gotten the full amount. There should be laws written better that could make the conviction time quicker, and it's just wrong. But I mean, it is what it is. I can't do anything about it right now except to be more conscious of how rules and laws are made. Maybe speak up and try to be a little bit more proactive. But it's just wrong. I mean, it's just wrong. It should have been the full amount. There's no conversation to me. It's too basic. It's like, you got to be kidding me. It's the full amount. Like, next, like, put them away. Don't get me started. Sorry.
And FX, I want to get yours, and then we'll end that with Spawn. But FX, want to get your thoughts.
Quite frankly, I've been thinking that the whole trial was basically they took Chauvin and made him a sacrificial lamb because they knew if that fool did not get time, that whole department and everything in Minnesota would have got upended. They basically said, and I'm pretty sure, and this is just my whole opinion, but I honestly believe they pulled him to the side before anything happened and said, you got to do time, regardless of how this trial goes. You're going to have to do time, because otherwise, if we let you go in this, and especially with everything that's been going on social media and how it's been shown on CNN and everything, if he would have gotten off, Minnesota would be a dumpster fire right now. It would be. So the 22 and a half is basically, we're still going to take care of our own, but we're going to make sure that you know, follow some kind of law. Because they did say that, okay, even though he got 22 and a half, he might only do 15. So that was the talk about that. And then the whole thing with his mom, that was more of the sympathy vote. So they figured, because just like I mentioned before about, like, not my baby, that was the not my baby moment. That's what that was. So if they bring her in for the sympathy and to bring her in to show that, oh, there is a softer side to him, so he shouldn't do time. That's what happened. And of course, the judge was saying, well, I'm not basing this on emotion. I'm going by the book of the law and all this other stuff. Say what you want. What he should have done was, like, really seeing what was really happening. And I'm with everybody. He should be doing life. He should be doing life. He should be getting the maximum allowable under the law for what he has done. He has killed an unarmed black man. Forget the past, because I know everybody wants to talk about, oh, he was a criminal, he's this, he's that. I'm pretty sure you've heard all the feedback about him getting a statue. How are you going to give a statue to a criminal? Okay, I back this up with this question. How do you give a statue to one that has owned slaves? And y'all know who I'm talking about, because there's several. Anyway, the thing about it is, again, he should have got the full. He killed an unarmed black man, regardless of what his past was. He should have gotten full. That 22 and a half is a miscalculation. And I can also say this, there have been judges that have been disbarred over decisions like that. Just saying. And also keep in mind, there are other federal charges pending. So he could get
more time.
He could get more. Yeah. So all that was like, to the black folk, this is your token, just to keep you quiet for now. That's all it was.
John, we will leave the
final thoughts on what has occurred to you?
Well, for myself, I agree on what everyone has said, definitely. And what FX had mentioned, definitely, I just look at it this way. Everybody still got to remember, by law, no matter what, every state has a certain word in there for a law. And like you were saying, the mom was there for the sympathetic situation. Mm-hmm. Of course, his attorney said you need to have your mom here.
Yeah.
So you can possibly get less sentence, but you're going to do some time. Now, 22 years for a person who's never been locked up ever in their life, that's a long time if you've never been locked up.
Right.
Never, you always put people in, but you've never been in. That's going to be a challenge as well, and he's not going to be in population because,
mm-mm,
you know that's dangerous. But
oh, because that's the thing, they end up killing
in
that fool.
Population, you just never know what can happen within 22 years.
Again?
As well.
So
I look at it as a situation where something had to happen, no matter what. It wasn't going to be a probation time serve, unrealistic. But 22 years can go more years as well. So that's over 10 years. He's not going to get out in no 15 years for good behavior. No, 22
right.
years.
Right.
He has to stay in there.
Right.
So I'm a little comfortable with that because he's in jail. No matter how you look at it, he's locked up. He's 924-56842 number, whatever it is. But the whole situation is, it was a minor situation that should have never happened, of course. And I look at it this way. That case, the whole world was watching that, not just the United States. That went over to Japan. That went over to Russia. That went over to countries that you never hear they're marching for something that happened in America of any type of violent crime like that. So that was very powerful right there. That was all about the people, like, this man got to go.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at the whole overall. And even during the trial, FX can tell you, every day I was watching that trial, I wrote down the names. Matter of fact, I'm going to have some of the guests on the show a little later.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I was there every day, Monday through Friday, and I'm not a morning person, but 9:30 in the morning, I was watching that trial every day.
I was getting text messages.
I was very serious about it.
I was. Yep.
I was very serious
right.
about it. But by law, yep. people have to always remember every state, because I did take some criminal law, and I understand. There are certain words in every different state that you'll be like, wow, why did he get this or why, excuse me, or what, or da-da-da. But the key of it is that's just the way it goes in every different state. But he's doing time because he had to. And not 10 years. He had to do 20-some years. And 20-some years is a long time because I know – everyone who's listening to this show tonight and everyone who's on the show, you would never want to do 22 years.
No,
no.
You don't even want to do one.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't even want to do one. Just the thought of saying, okay, you're going to prison, you don't want to do that time
exactly.
at all.
Exactly. Because now you're not getting privileges. You're just the same number as the next guy.
Pretty much.
The only key of it is he's just hoping that they don't get him while he's in jail.
Yep.
And you remember what happened to John, what's his name, the guy who ate guys, Dahmer?
Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer, yeah.
Remember what happened to him?
Yep.
And he wasn't in population.
Yep.
Nope.
So, karma is something. That's all I can say.
Well, I guess that is going to be a part of where we'll have to leave it for tonight because our time, according to the clock on the wall, is dwindling here. And we want to thank everyone for listening in tonight. Spahn, I will leave it to you for final thoughts and then to FX to close us out. But thank you so much. I want to thank you personally for being back here again. It's always great to have a seat with the family, so to speak, and to talk about what's going on. And I definitely want to thank everybody else tonight. So final words with you, Spahn, and then to FX close out.
Definitely. First, as even LeVar said, I want to thank everyone. I just want to say definitely stay strong, because I know everyone has been going through a lot, no matter how the situation is. It's been a challenging situation from last year, even up to now. But definitely, PLM family, we're always here for everyone. And I want to thank all my listeners globally. Definitely, definitely. And all the information will be up there on my Instagram as far as information starting tomorrow in reference for Florida. I'll have FEMA number and other information, because people are still trying to find their loved ones and know if what's the update. So social media is very powerful. So with that information, definitely we need to have that up there on very important situation there. And I know somebody's on location somewhere who's invading our our live show, and I say the tongue is very powerful. But please, no feedback, because you're overdoing our live show. So on that note, I want to thank my professors who are listening in. Love everybody. I'm learning so much in my doctoring degree. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we have some other good things coming up very soon. We have Albert and we have Andre coming up with their shows next month as well. Right. Some really great surprises.
Yeah, I got some stuff to tell you. I got to wait a minute, but then I will.
Yes. They're definitely going to want to tune in. Yes, yes, yes. So we'll be up on social media very soon on the promotion. Next weekend, it'll be up there.
All right. And FX closing? All
right. Yep, closing it out. So just real quick, again, thank everybody that has been listening to us. Again, acknowledgments. We got more shows coming up for you, so please stay tuned. But we're going to close out with two songs. We're going to close out with two songs this time. The first song is by Robert Ross, better known as Black Rob, playing his 2000 single, Whoa, which peaked at 43 on the Billboard Hot 100. He unfortunately died recently of kidney failure at the age of 52 on April 17th of this year. Rest in peace, my brother.
Yeah.
After that, we shall finish with the Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth song, See You Again, from the Fast and Furious 7 soundtrack. A shout-out goes to Paul Walker, who unfortunately passed in a car crash. Yep, Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Passed in a car crash November 13th. So as you know, the new movie has come out this weekend on Friday. It has actually hit number one post-pandemic.
Yes, it has.
So it's going strong.
Right.
It's definitely going strong.
Yeah.
So with that, I will, on behalf of the panel, myself, I will must say that we will see you again soon. So again, stay tuned. Again, thoughts and prayers go out to everyone. That's been
definitely.
And we definitely love everyone. Our love is definitely with you all. Our thoughts are with you. Please be safe out there. And always remember, if you can't stay safe in any way, just find a way. Just keep the mask on hand. Again, thank
you
all.
That's right.
Be safe out there.
That's right. Thanks. One love, everyone.
DJ Angelo, you are sick for this one. Pearls, I mean, whoa.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
Damn, who knew? All the planes we flew, good things we've been through, that I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever paid. Now I see you in a better place. See you in a better place. How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I would do, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way,
yeah, we came a long way
from where we began.
You know, we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I'll tell you.
When I see you again.
You both go out your way and the vibe is feeling strong and we're small. Turn to a friendship turn to a bond, and that bond will never be broken. The love will never get lost. And when brotherhood comes first, and the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own when that line had to be drawn, and that line is what we reach. So remember me when I'm gone. How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
Don't let the light guide your way. Yeah. Hold every memory as you go. And every road you take will always lead you. Without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it.